Hello, friends. A couple weeks ago, I planned to give this teaching from our community garden outside up the street, but then the forecast changed to chilly and rainy, and I felt strangely sure, punctuated by moments of fear and doubt, that this was the week to move back into the building for those of us who feel ready to do so. Today is my first in-person live teaching since March 1st, 7 months, and it feels pretty different. I am looking out from the very back of our stage, which is 15 feet deep, where the closest people will be an additional 15 feet away. Everyone will be spread over 6 feet apart, wearing masks. What a different world we now live in. It's strange. I have been arranging plants and chairs in the sanctuary, walking around with a measuring tape, printing out cautionary signs, working with the HVAC guy to calculate the cubic feet of space and ventilation so that we know there is a total exchange of inside-outside air every hour that the fan is on. And I had totally forgotten that we used to have PowerPoints on the screen during teachings. Today is our first hybrid service with the welcome, teaching, and benediction, all pre-recorded and posted on the website, but also live and in person in the sanctuary. The music is all pre-recorded so that we can follow along with the words quietly behind our masks, but those of you listening at home can sing as loud as you want and dance around your kitchen if you feel led. Some things remain the same. There is still rain and drought, planting and harvesting. So let us pray for the speaking and the listening, the folks gathering and the folks spread apart. Lord, give us ears to listen. Give us minds to perceive. Give us wisdom to choose. Give us energy to act. Please bless the hearing of these words, that your truth might touch each person listening. Please unite us and make us one body, spread around the world, together and apart, joining in your work to bring your kingdom into our world. Amen. Jesus used a lot of agricultural analogies. He talked of fields and planting, of vineyards and harvesting, weeds and pruning. Even though there is no mention of him or the 12 owning either fields or vineyards, they didn't seem to be farmers or winemakers themselves, though perhaps it was such a familiar part of everyday life that the setting of his parables was easy to imagine. Even today, though we may not be farmers, we understand the basic processes of cultivation. So, as we talk, as we listen, think of the gardens you know, the vineyards you visited. When we examine Jesus' parables individually, like the disciples, we often look for direct parallels of who is playing which roles in the story. Who is the sower? What is the seed? Who is the landowner, the tenant farmers, the vines, the branches, the fruit? And this makes sense and yields helpful direction for what we should do or how we can understand our world. But rather than looking closely at a specific parable today, I'd like to think of them as a whole. All the agricultural analogies that Jesus used with the crowds, the disciples, and the religious leaders. Sometimes we are the soil, hard packed or strewn with rocks, or maybe rather shallow, or full of thistles, but in some places properly prepared ground, ready to receive the word. Sometimes we are the wheat, growing alongside the weeds, all mixed in together and left until the harvest at the end of the age. We are distressed by the evil around us. I have appreciated Kevin's and Jeff's willingness to call out evil in their past few teachings. Paul wasn't afraid to call out the people whose ideas and practice of religion did not match up with the work of God's kingdom. Watch out, he advised the Philippians, for people who do evil things. We might take his warning to heart to be careful of those who profess to be Christians, but whose actions are not for mercy, justice, and loving neighbors near and far as ourselves. On the flip side, the harvest is greater than we can imagine. There are lots of good people around us growing in God's work, ripe to enter into God's kingdom. Open your eyes, Jesus said, and see the harvest. Perhaps we, like the disciples, don't recognize people right in front of us, see people around us who also long for the kind of kingdom that God is creating. Maybe because they go to different churches or don't go to church at all, or they are separated from us by class, culture, or railroad tracks. There is more wheat than tares. So we pray for more community organizers, people who bring together those who are working for justice and mercy, to coordinate the effort to gather the harvest together. Today, at 4 o'clock, First Mennonite is heading up a Zoom organization session of local churches to learn about the ways that faith communities can collaborate to address environmental racism in Champaign-Urbana and identify next steps. Next week at noon, we can work in the community garden that gives people access to healthy food grown right in their neighborhood. There are opportunities for each of us to cultivate God's work in process around us. Other times, we are called to be the sower, to scatter generously the seeds of God's word without worrying whether they will be well received or not. Dawn was telling me how at the garden they have an abundance of seed that has been donated. On the one hand, seed is costly and expensive. On the other, they have more than they need. Which reminds us of the paradox of God's kingdom of surplus rather than scarcity. In economics, we learn that resources are valuable because they are limited. When there is excess, it drives the price down and makes things inexpensive. But God's mercy and grace are neither limited nor cheap. This is hard for us to wrap our minds around. Our forgiveness, the righteousness that Paul spoke of that comes not from ourselves, but from the faithfulness of Jesus, is costly. And yet it is always available to each of us and to all, overflowing. And so we too spread God's goodness liberally without worrying about waste, because it is both valuable and free. In the parable from Matthew 21, assigned for today's lectionary, Jesus says, "There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went into another country." In this story, those in charge of the vineyard schemed to keep the profits for themselves. When the owner sent to collect the produce, the tenants beat and killed first the slaves and then the owner's son. Jesus called out corrupt leaders for not being faithful caretakers of what they had been given. He says in Matthew 21:43, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom." The tradition of corrupt leaders mismanaging the work of the church continues. White American Christianity might heed this warning, noticing that our church has produced fruit unfit for the kingdom of God. We have not nurtured plantings of justice and mercy. We have not pruned back greed and racism and thrown it into the fire. We are reaping a bitter harvest of division that has been sown. But that didn't seem like the entire focus of the Lord's word for those of us listening today. We need God's grace to grow where we are planted. We are the soil. We are the seed. We are the sowers and we are the harvesters. We are God's field, our local community garden. Each of us is rooted in a particular place. And I believe the message for us today is to cultivate what we have, who we are, wherever we are. Attend to the soil of our spiritual lives. Has it been lying fallow? Have the cares of this world cropped up and are choking out the plants? Do we need to dig around, remove some rocks, and fertilize our inner selves with life-giving nutrients? After the title of this teaching came to me as somewhat surprising imperative, I looked up the word cultivate to refresh my memory. The first meaning is to prepare and use land for crops or gardening. Prepare, then use. To till, plow, dig, turn, hoe, farm, work, fertilize, mulch. We have a calling. There is work right here, all around us, to be done. We each have gifts, not just for our own enjoyment and edification, but to be used to benefit and help others around us. The idea of cultivation brings us back to Jeff's teaching from last week that we are praying and working in partnership with God. Begging, pleading, persisting, as Patty said in today's welcome. Because the second definition of cultivate is to try to acquire or develop some quality or skill. There is effort involved to take natural ability to train and practice and improve our skills. I appreciate the work of those in our community who are naturally gifted and also put in the time and effort to cultivate those abilities. Valerie Hoffman, who is already a great teacher, but is always working to improve her ability to communicate with her students in new ways. Michael Linder is a naturally gifted musician with a great ear, and then he puts in the hours to hone his skills and produce music that is the result of people's talents and hard work. The list of the faithful around us is long and inspiring. Our calling today is to cultivate the talents we have been given, to work the soil within and around us, to sow seeds of God's goodness and mercy generously, to put in the time and the work for God's kingdom in whatever garden, field, or vineyard we have been assigned, planted, and given. Which brings us back to the Philippians passage for today. Paul says, "It's not that I have already reached this goal or have already been perfected, but I pursue it so that I may grab hold of it because Christ grabbed hold of me for just this purpose. Brothers and sisters, I myself don't think I've reached it, but I do this one thing. I forget about the things behind me and reach out for the things ahead of me. The goal I pursue is the prize of God's upward call in Christ Jesus. We are pressing on, not dwelling on what we have done before, either successes or failures, but straining toward what lies ahead. We are united with Jesus and with each other in our sufferings. We too, like all who have gone before us, will experience death. But we know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. In faith, we believe that we are invited to participate in that renewal and gift of life eternal. So we press on toward the goal together as we fulfill our heavenly call of God through Jesus the Messiah. Let us close with prayer, and then Dawn will lead us in communion from the video we recorded in the garden back when the weather was great. Lord, thank you for the gift of growth that you enable in us and in the people around us. Gather us together that we might work for your harvest of justice, righteousness, and mercy. Help us to press on toward the goal and to cultivate your kingdom here on earth. Amen.